Welcome to the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana.
Watford for the win! Yes! Yes! Unbelievable!
Your daily home for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Welcome to Indiana basketball.
Smart takes the shot! And the Hoosiers with 3 seconds. Go ahead.
Indiana wins the championship. Keith Smart is the hero.
When my time on Earth is gone and my activities here are past, I want they bury me upside down and my critics can kiss my...
Now here's your host, Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana. What I feel is the pinnacle, the absolute pinnacle of all of college basketball.
And hello, welcome in a Tuesday edition of the Hoosier Report, live and underway here at the Big X Studios in Jeffersonville. Glad to have you with us, and a reminder that if you ever can't find us live or make it with us live at 11 a.m., you can locate us as a podcast. We're available on a couple different platforms that are very easy to use and easy to find. We're on Apple Podcasts. We're also on SoundCloud as well. So make sure you check us out there. And, of course, we always want you with us live here on the Big X at 11. But if you can't, those are some alternatives for you to keep in mind. Welcome into our Tuesday program. The big news of the week is Christian Lander will be headed to Indiana basically as soon as the campus reopens as a member of the 2020 class. We thought this was going to happen. Christian had said very openly it was something he was working towards, and yesterday morning it became official. And then just as we came on the air yesterday, Indiana put out a release that confirmed Christian would join the IU program next year, had the official statement from Archie Miller. And from that point forward, things look to be pretty much a wrap for next season with the roster. We talked yesterday, there is an open spot on the roster as it stands. Of course, Justin Smith declared for the NBA draft. We fully expect, I think, him to return next season, but we're not going to find out June 3rd. That was the initial kind of drop-dead deadline when you got to take your name out if you're not going to stay in and actually, you know, officially go for the draft, declare for the draft, and that date has been pushed back. I don't know that we even know the exact date yet. We just know that it's getting pushed back. So just a couple small, I would call them very small items when you look at Indiana for next season, but things appear to be pretty set. And I tell you, just kind of looking at Indiana's roster for next season, lots of talent, lots of I don't know if veteran is the word, but guys with experience, and I could see a real problem for the coaches, for Archie Miller, on how in the world do you divide up playing time. How do you give the older guys, the leader guys, what they deserve and probably need, but how do you bring along some of the young guys as well? Because Christian Lander won't be your typical college freshman, I don't think, as a point guard. Not sure that he's going to come in and dominate, not sure that he's going to come in and start or anything crazy like that, but he definitely will be a player that will be earning time, and definitely for the future, you'll want to get some early experience as he can for the IU program. So interesting stuff there, and of course, plenty to get to today. Let's jump into the show lineup. It's a service of Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Segment one, we have our Zaxby's headlines, a summary of the day's top IU and Southern Indiana sports news. With the Lander decision yesterday, Indiana has jumped up in some of the preseason, I call them all, way too dang early ratings out there. We'll tell you about that. Also, some schools, Notre Dame, one of them here in our state, some colleges announcing that they're going to try to go back next year with normal classes, of course, while practicing social distancing, but they're altering the schedule. I think Notre Dame, South Carolina, there have been a couple others, but I'll tell you what that kind of altered schedule is, and it's going to be interesting to see how that will work with football and or basketball seasons as well if they proceed as normal for the upcoming 2020-2021 academic year. We'll do that and more in the headlines today. Later in the show, Greg Doyle is with us in segment two of Greg's segment presented by Coffee Crossing. And with Greg, we're going to talk about Christian Lander. I know he has some thoughts there. And also, Greg had a column late last week that was really good about how the coronavirus is affecting or could affect what really is one of the greatest sports times ever for Indianapolis. And I'll go ahead and extend that to the entire state of Indiana. There are just a number of major events that are forthcoming for our state in the world of sports. We know the NCAA Final Four. We talked about that last week. Pretty cool that not only are they going to play the Division I Final Four and championship game in Indianapolis, but they're going to play D2 in Evansville, D3 in Fort Wayne. So the Hoosier State will be in charge of it all next year when it comes to college basketball and crowning champions. But that's not all. There are so many other big events set for the city of Indianapolis and for some of the big facilities there like Lucas Oil that it's going to be interesting to see if all that continues as normal. And even if the events happen, you know, the crowds may be different. The crowds may be less, not because the fans don't want to be there, but because of social distancing. And, of course, of a vaccine for all of this, whenever it happens, and you know that they're working ferociously on it each day, could get things back to normal and could make those events go off in Indianapolis as normal. So we're going to talk some about that as well. And it's just always fun to talk with Greg because you don't know exactly where the segment is going to go. And again, Greg's a chat each week presented by Coffee Crossing. Their locations, by the way, are now open. We'll give you the details. So back to normal almost. We'll give you those details coming up here in just a few minutes as well. Also, later in the program today, Mike Pegram is with us. I know we've hit the Christian Lander stuff pretty hard. With Mike, we'll take a look at the rest of the roster, what he expects for next season, and a couple recruiting nuggets as well with Peegs when he joins us later today. That's the show lineup. It's a service of Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Don't forget, when you go to Honey Baked Ham right now, 50% off any bone-in ham. You tell them what size you want, tell them you want a bone-in ham. It's 50% off the ticketed price right now at Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Don't forget, you can interact with the show. Love to hear from you. Submit a comment, submit a question. Perhaps it'll get read on the air. Maybe we'll use it for Greg or for Mike later in the program. You can follow me on Twitter, at Hoosier Hills, all one word, Hoosier Hills on Twitter. Would love to hear from you. You can follow there to get updates on the show, links to podcasts, and a lot more. You can also find us, our show on Facebook, The Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison. Type that in the Facebook search bar, and you can like our page. You can send us a message or a comment there. And again, we're always looking for good stuff and topics to use on the show each day. Let's get into our Zaxby's headlines, a summary of the day's top IU and Southern Indiana sports news presented by Zaxby's with locations in Jeffersonville and New Albany. And we start today with a byproduct of the Christian Lander reclassification. Lots of way early polls out there. It's something fun, I guess, to do in the off season. And one that I do actually follow is Gary Parrish of CBS Sports. I think Gary, he has a radio show in Memphis. He's very entertaining. He does a great job. Knows Greg Doyle, I know very well. And he does a top 25 and one. And I think Indiana at some point been listed in that poll, maybe just in the 26th spot, I'm not exactly sure. But nonetheless, Indiana has jumped up a little bit in that poll with the addition of five-star Christian Lander. They're at the number 21 spot now in the Gary Parrish top 25 and one, the way too early poll. Big Ten teams, just while we're looking at it, also ranked in that poll. Iowa is number 6, Wisconsin number 10, Michigan State 11th in that poll. Just FYI, Kentucky number 15, Ohio State 17. Let's see, Rutgers just ahead of Indiana at the number 20 spot. And so definitely there, a lot of activities going on right now with Christian Lander, kind of as I said, a byproduct of his commitment to the Indiana program, really his reclassification to the Indiana program. There's no question about that. One other headline right now is what's going to happen with college sports, college football, college basketball. Are they going to get back in session? Are things going to go as normal? Yesterday, I think South Carolina was the first that they announced in the afternoon that they're going to open either on time or maybe a little early, but they're going to get out in advance, and there's going to be no fall break at a lot of these colleges that are following this plan. No fall break, so they're going to keep colleges, the students on campus is the plan, and then they're going to get out just before Thanksgiving for the typical semester break, holiday break, Christmas break, whatever you want to call it. The thinking there is by getting rid of the fall break, which is normally, depending on the college, a week or 4 days or so, and getting them out of there before Thanksgiving and then not bringing them back until the second semester, the thinking is that if the virus does get worse in the fall into the winter, that you get them home, you get them away from college, because if they go home for fall break and come back, they could infect the college population. There obviously are a lot of back and forth visits there. So you get them out of there before any of the holidays, before any of the trips home, and you don't bring them back until the second semester begins in 2021. It's an interesting thought, but can you imagine if sports do go on as planned? College campuses will be awful barren for college athletes and specifically basketball players whose seasons will just really beginning to get cranked up at that point. That definitely would be a much different path, a much different look than it is right now for those players that stay on campus. But definitely, no question about it, lots of colleges making plans, some saying that they're going to go virtual, some saying it could be a mix of virtual and in-class, a mix, and then other colleges staying at it, that they are going to go back in a traditional sense. But this schedule, in a traditional sense, I think does make sense to keep them there once you get them. And obviously, when they get to the holidays, send them out of there in advance of Thanksgiving so they can spend that time at home and don't come back and forth for fall break and Thanksgiving break and bring anything back from families or, you know, affect others in their families as they take it possibly home from the campus. A lot of schools have also been talking about they're going to have, obviously, testing on campus, contract tracing on campus when someone does have the virus, no question about that, and obviously quarantine and isolation protocols and, of course, mask requirements and social distancing we know is going to be part of our lives for the foreseeable future. So interesting, as we talk about sports, the academic world is preparing for what they're going to do as well, and really those two things, I think, are married together or tied together in many different ways. So let's look at our Zaxby's headlines for this Tuesday edition of the program. Don't forget, Zaxby's still open, and locations in New Albany and Jeffersonville for you to get that great Zaxby's chicken, those chicken tenders, those salads, a very wide-ranging menu at Zaxby's, again, with two locations right here in our area. Also, later in the program, after Greg Doyle and after Mike Pegram, we have our senior spotlight today for a spring sport athlete that has lost their final opportunity in high school sports. And today we have another Floyd Central Highlander, Taryn Weddle, a softball standout for the Highlanders, is who we will profile later on in the program today. Stay with us. It's a Tuesday edition of the Hoosier Report here on the Big X Sports Radio. Greg Doyle of the Indianapolis Star is next, presented by Coffee Crossing. We'll talk to you then. This is the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
Let's win this one for all the small schools who never had a chance to get here.
Join Matt daily at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Let's win for Coach. You got us here.
Here's Matt Dennison.
And we're back on this Tuesday program. Greg Doyle of the Indianapolis Star is my guest, and this segment always presented by Coffee Crossing. As of Monday, all Coffee Crossing locations are now open, dining rooms and drive-throughs both available, and you can go to the website for individual store hours with a number of different Coffee Crossing locations here in the area. So that, Greg, is good news. We're starting to get the economy open, maybe get back to some, I don't want to say normal, but maybe a new normal. And of course, we want to make sure the virus is under control, but maybe, just maybe down the road a bit, we can start talking a little bit more seriously about the return of sports and the return of basketball and other sports.
Yeah, that's awesome that Coffee Crossing is open. I mean, it's kind of a microcosm of the whole economy. So good for everybody that can open up right now. But listen, there are folks that don't want to hear this, and you're the ones that need to hear this. And please open your mind just for a half second. It's not easy to hear something you don't want to hear, but hear this. Wear a mask. Don't wear a mask because you think you're going to get sick, because apparently you don't. Don't wear a mask because you think you're going to make someone else sick, because apparently you don't. Wear a mask because we don't know everything about this, but we know that we can carry it and have no symptoms at all, and we can give it to somebody else. Like, that's happening. This is not science fiction. This is not, oh, that's not really, no, that's really happening. People are getting this and dying from folks that don't even have symptoms. So don't let that be you. They think masks are helping. Why wouldn't you wear a mask? This is not about your pride. It's not about that. It's about wearing a God bleep mask.
Greg Doyle, Indianapolis Star, presented by Coffee Crossing. Absolutely. Is it an inconvenient? Is it a little odd? Yes, but it's the right thing to do if it helps someone else, as you mentioned.
Well, it's not odd anymore. I mean, the first couple of times I wore one, it felt weird and a little bit embarrassing. I was probably one of the earlier people to wear one. I wasn't one of the first, but I was among the first third or fourth percentile to wear them, I guess. And that felt a little bit weird when other people weren't. You walked by them thinking, you probably think I'm an idiot, don't you? And you kind of feel embarrassed wearing one because you don't know what everybody's thinking. Well, we're way past that. No one's thinking anything. I mean, well, there are some people that are thinking we're idiots wearing masks, and you're the people I just had to bleep myself for. There's nothing embarrassing about wearing one anymore. In fact, to me, I know there's a lot of people like me, when I see someone not in a mask, I've got two thoughts. One is, you might not know how to get one. You might not have one. I completely get. But there are people that are just stubbornly, like, I'm not wearing one. And this is not about you. It's about everybody else. So anyway, I'm sorry for hijacking this whole thing, but wear a freaking mask.
Yeah, no, and I want to say, I think it's important enough to talk about for a moment before we get to some sports. I do want to say, this is my little PSA on mask. The first time or two that I wore one, I was going to the store, going out where I knew there would be obviously other people. I had to really think twice about not touching my mask or my face. Once you get it adjusted, you get it on right. It took some thought because it just, you want to adjust it, you want to move it, you want to play with it. It's something new on you. And so that took a little thought because I thought, oh, touching your face and your mask with your hands when you're out in public or out in another place with items and products is probably not a good thing. So wear a mask, as Greg said. Don't touch your mask or your face once you've got it adjusted.
And one more thing, as we're talking about this, pet peeves and also PSAs. And again, this is real. There, you know, go to the Johns Hopkins website and it'll show you how many people have died and then around the world, and then do something amazing and refresh the page, and that number will change. Refresh it again, that number will change again. People are dying like by the minute of this thing. And so this is real, as I say. I'm blown away by the people. If you don't want to wear a mask, I don't get it, but okay. But I see people that are wearing masks but then grabbing the shopping cart handles at Kroger, like, you know, pushing around your cart with your hands. Just don't do that either. You know, I don't know what you got to do, but you know, Kroger gives all these shoppers out, you know, these little pieces of paper, these pamphlets, these, you know, like a little miniature newspaper with all the deals. Grab one of those, wrap it around the handle, and push it around that way. You just can't be careful enough, but why wouldn't you do that? So that's actually me being weird. I realize that most people don't do that, but I'm blown away by all the folks that take the precaution of wearing masks, and I'm sure they're being very, very safe. And then they just grip these handles like it's no big deal. No, it's a big deal. Don't touch that. And don't touch my food either, for God's sake.
Greg Doyle, good stuff to start the segment presented by Coffee Crossing. Christian Lander, he'll be in Bloomington effectively as soon as the campus reopens. And obviously it's interesting. He's a player that has all sorts of accolades as a high school underclassman. He's going to do something that I think is very unique, and he's going to pass – a senior year. I'm not sure if he stayed at Evansville Rights for a senior year, that he alone would have made them a state championship contender, but he would have had huge numbers. He would have been a show every night wherever he went, especially committed to an in-state school like Indiana with a great fan base. And he would have won all sorts of individual accolades, even if his team maybe didn't get beyond the sectional or regional round of the tournament. So today, in this world we're in, everybody wants to rack up all of their awards and their individual accomplishments. And I guess some of it is part of being a kid and part of finding yourself and having some success. But he's forgoing so many things that you get as a senior, whether it is those awards, whether it's fun times with your friends, no matter what it is, to really get into some serious hard work a year ahead of time with Indiana basketball.
Yeah, I'm hoping to speak to him, actually, maybe today or tomorrow. You know, I've been doing every week, it runs in the paper Thursday, it goes online maybe the day before. I call it my senior class project, and I've done 7 or 8 of them so far where I talk to a senior. Usually they've been in the Indianapolis area, a high school senior who lost their final season, whether in midseason or didn't even start because of the coronavirus. And so, you know, if I could write about every single senior in the state, I'd do it, but I can't. So I'm trying to pick one from pretty much every school in my area, there's 30 or 40 schools, and highlighting them. And next week, I'm hoping if I can get Christian on the phone, and I think I can. I've talked to his mom a little bit. Hoping Christian's my guy for next week because he lost his final season. Wrights was alive in the tournament. You need to tell me, Matt, what, just as a guess, obviously we're all just guessing here, but what kind of odds did they have of winning state?
This as a senior, if he returned?
No. Right this year. They were going to regional this year when it got shut down.
Yeah, no,
how good were they this year?
They were in a regional with number one undefeated Anthony Lille in Bloomington South, who I think was the favorite. But Floyd Central right here won the sectional for the first time in 30-plus years, and they were really good and only lost to Bloomington South by 1 point in the regular season. Those two would have met. The winner of that game would have gotten the winner of Wrights, and I can't even remember who the fourth team in the regional was, but very low to come out of that regional.
Gotcha, okay. I still want to talk to him about a lot of stuff, but, you know, why is he doing this? What's the calculus of, you know, let's say the virus prevents the season from even happening next year at any level, which is possible. Where would you rather be? Would you rather be at IU or Wrights if there's no season? Just want to ask him, you know, his thought process, because it's a unique situation to happen. I mean, football players all the time skip their final semester of high school, but they play their senior season. And I know this has happened a few times in college basketball. In fact, it happened with Race Thompson at IU. I think, didn't he skip his senior year of high school?
Yeah. He either left early or, you know, he would have had to have skipped the whole thing. That's what it was.
Yeah, he reclassified. So it does happen. It happened on the same roster, but that makes it sound like it happens a lot and it doesn't. So it puts you at a physical disadvantage, obviously. I mean, the difference between age 15 and 17 is so big. The difference between 21 and 23 is not. But 15 and 17, 17 and 19, you know, before you hit 20, every year is just an enormous advantage. That's why a lot of parents hold their kids back in kindergarten thinking that, you know, 12 years from now, you'll be a high school senior a year older than everybody else and it'll pay off, and it might. So I'm really curious to know just, you know, what he thinks about, you know, having 1 year less of development before he gets to the show, because he's got all the talent in the world. And he's going to get where he's going to get. Just wondering what he thinks that first year is going to be like.
Yeah, that's very interesting. And you bring up a great point. Who knows what's ahead in sports? We think we're starting to get back to, you know, economy reopening, Coffee Crossing, different restaurants opening in Indiana at 50%. That number gets to go up here, I think, in another week or so. That's all positive news. But who knows what a vaccine looks like and how long it takes to get here. And, you know, there's obviously a long way to go, we think. What would happen if someone like Christian gives up the senior year and there is no high school basketball? Or, you know, maybe he would lose out on college as well, the same way he'd lose on his freshman year of games as he would have his senior year. But there's just a lot of interesting situations that could arise and have in some cases already with players just losing some, and I'm not even talking specifically about Christian right now, but losing some unbelievable situations and experiences because of this virus. And as it affects future seasons, there's going to be more and more stories of that, which I think it's great you're recognizing some of those Indianapolis area kids as well.
Yeah, there's one of the things that we know that we're opening the economy up and everything in waves, very carefully and with a lot of caution and a lot of thought. We know all of that, and no one's really talking about this yet too much. I mean, but I'll say it here, is that one of the last things they're going to be able to open, just for pure safety sake, is mass gatherings. We all know that. Well, short of college football games, that's once a week, and high school basketball games, that's twice a week, and so those are regular events that they're going to be hard to have full crowds of people. But one thing that I think we're all just kind of hoping goes away, but it won't, is the most constant, everyday, daily mass gathering in our society is school. And I just don't know. Lord knows I'm not an influencer, or I don't make decisions. No one's listening to me, but I just don't know how they open up schools in August. I don't know how they do that safely. I realize people are not working, and they can't work if their kids are home. And I mean, I get it. Believe me, it's easy for me to sit here as a 50-year-old, and I hate saying that number, but a 50-year-old, my kids are in college, or one of them graduated. It doesn't matter to me in a very small, selfish way. It doesn't matter to me if schools are open or closed, because I don't have a kid I've got to stay home and take care of. I realize millions of people almost can't work if their kids aren't in school. So you don't say these words lightly. I just don't know how, whenever the people have to make these decisions, have to make them, I just don't know how school starts up in August without a vaccine. And if that doesn't happen, that's what I'm saying. I'm not sure. Without schools, there is no football season, and there is no high school basketball season next year. So we'll have to see. I hate to be Mr. Bad News, but that's just kind of the way it looks.
Yeah, no question. And one other thing, I've got a couple topics. I do want to go back to Christian Lander, and I know I kind of threw you off track there, but
I throw myself off track without anybody's help. Don't you worry about that.
You know, Gary Parrish, who is, I know, someone that you know well in the writing media radio industry, he has, I think, one of the best off-season polls. He calls it the 25-and-1. It's on CBS Sports. I'm sure you're familiar with it. And, I never get too worked up. In fact, most of the time when I see one of these come out, I just shake my head and think it's awful stupid to be ranking teams for next college basketball season in May, because we don't even know, with some rosters, NBA draft, what could happen. The deadline's been pushed back for that. And there are transfers and just things constantly going on this time of year in the world of college hoops. But it is interesting to follow, and I think Gary knows a lot, talks to a lot of people, stays on top of it nationwide as much as anyone. And I found it interesting in his 25-and-1. I mentioned this in our headline segment today, that Indiana took a big jump. I think they went up to the number 21 spot, and he writes that Christian Lander is a big part of that. So we've been talking about tempering your expectations for a player that is highly ranked in the country, and that he's going to be a year ahead of time, and that he needs to get some experience early on in his time in Bloomington, because he could be a heck of a player as he moves through his career. But I think other people see Christian, based on what he did in his high school and his AAU time, as someone that can maybe come in off the bat and really help this program and the team.
Yeah, I do know Gary very well. I don't know if you know this, but when I was at CBS and I was covering college basketball years and years ago, and I moved to more of a general sports kind of national, I guess, just write about whatever I wanted thing, Gary replaced me. So we worked together for 5 or 8 or so years. So, Yeah, I know him. I know him real well. But about this one, I mean, and I know that he does that job better than I ever did, and he has access to coaches better than I ever had. I was ripping him left and right. Nobody wanted to talk to me back then. So that's just the way it goes. Gary always tells, every time I see him, he tells this story. He still tells this story. When he replaced me, he started traveling around various coaches. He said multiple coaches that first year on the job. He said, thank God Doyle's gone. So they weren't thrilled about how mean I was. But anyway, so he knows more than I do. And I've not seen Chris Lander play in person, so I'm saying this completely mostly from ignorance, although I've talked to coaches around the state about this topic, and they've said that he's 3 or 4 years, literally years, behind Rob Phinisee and physically. And while there's no comparing the ceilings of the two, I mean, Lander has NBA ceiling and Phinisee probably doesn't. I don't know how much Lander's going to play as a freshman. I mean, he's going to play. He's going to play. But if it's much more than 10, 12 minutes a game, I, based on what I hear, I'd be surprised. And if it is 10, 12 minutes a game, I'm not sure anybody coming in 10, 12 minutes a game should bump a team up in the standings more than a spot or so. But we shall see. We shall see. And again, I've never seen him physically, so I have no idea if he can handle the pounding or not. I can't wait to watch him, because when a guy like that goes to IU, the state kind of perks up, and it's fun.
Yeah, no question. Greg Doyle, Indianapolis Star, this segment presented by Coffee Crossing, which, by the way, as of Monday, All of their stores are open, both the in to sit in and drink coffee, get your favorite drink, and also the drive-thrus as well. And you can find out specific hours for the stores on the Coffee Crossing website and Facebook page. Greg, one other topic I wanted to bring up today. You had a column late last week that was really good about the coronavirus, and will it possibly wreck, take down this great sports time in Indianapolis? And I'm going to extend that to our state, because anything that happens in Indianapolis is, you know, within reach for us here in southern, northern Indiana, wherever, to participate in, to feel the excitement from, to take in the event in person if you can afford the ticket, if you can get there. And you bring up a tremendous point. We are in just an unbelievable sports time right now in Indianapolis because of the work of a lot of people, including government officials and the Indy Sports Agency that I know you wrote about there. But this is just a whirlwind of a number of big-time events that are coming to our city. And I'll let you kind of expand on that a little bit. You can read, obviously, the column at IndyStar.com/sports. But what a time. And you hope that for the economy in Indiana, for the businesses, the restaurants, for the tourism, and just for the experiences of our people here in this state, that we don't lose out or have, I don't know what the right word is, but kind of half-assed events, for whatever, if that's the right term, because of the coronavirus.
Yeah, between May of, well, this March of 20 and March of 2022, in that two-year, 24-month period, there have been 19 rather large sporting events coming. And some of them, people might think they're all that large, like a kind of an international water polo event. So that's not obviously as big as Super Bowl. But it's kind of a big deal, and a lot of people will travel for that. But that's the smallest. But it gets much bigger than that. There's every year there's the Big Ten Championship game in football. We know that. There's the Big Ten men's and women's tournament at Bankers Life Fieldhouse. But specifically, these 2 years have just some, I mean, biggies. As I wrote, no, you're going to have to show me a city in America that has had a bigger two-year stretch planned than we're in the middle of right now, because that includes, you know, all these Big Ten football championship games and Big Ten tournaments and all that. But it includes all three levels of the NCAA tournament. We had a regional this year we missed, the first two rounds in a couple of years. The Final Four is coming up in 10 months. Also, the NBA All-Star Game is coming up in 8 or 9 months. And the College Football National Championship Game is coming up in January of 2022. That's the only one that I feel pretty good that we're going to have with fans. The rest of them, no chance. You know, I think we might have some of these games, might, but there won't be fans in the crowd. And the Indiana Sports Corp has talked about this two-year stretch. This is back before the coronavirus hit. They were just kind of promoting what was happening around our city, and they said this two-year stretch will attract millions of people to our city and $600 million estimated economic impact. That's more than $500 million just coming in to our city and our state. And that says nothing about the Indy 500, by the way. Those 19 events were not even Indy 500, which is every year, and we're missing out on this one this year right now in May. And I think we're going to have the 500 in August, just like NASCAR had the race in Darlington the other day. There won't be fans at IMS. There's just no possible way. So the amount of money that we're missing out, the experiences people are missing out on, it's staggering. It's just historically, everything about this is historically bad. But this could have been a historically good stretch for us, and to have it taken away is, I don't even know how you compound that. It's historically just awful.
Yeah, and let me ask you, if it does come down to that we're having these big championships, these big events without fans in the buildings because of the virus and because there's no vaccine yet for the virus, is it worth having the events in the big buildings, and is it worth it for Indianapolis to want to host? I'm not sure you can back out now, and don't know how all the contracts and things like that work. But if we're going to get to a point in sports where there's going to be a year or so, we hope a lot less than that, where there are no fans, wouldn't it make sense to pick some small, nice facilities that could be decorated nicely for a television audience that are going to be a lot more cost-effective for everyone involved?
That makes a lot of sense. I don't know what will happen in that regard, but because I think that, you know, until the virus eliminates fans, all these cities have to move forward, like we're going to have this event, so all these plans have to take place and all that. So I don't know if 2-4 months before an event is finally canceled for fans' sake. I don't know if you can then find another place, but you probably could. What I hope happens, and what I really think will happen, and I don't know this, but I really, really believe this will happen, is if these games happen but without fans. So if we get the All-Star game here in 2021, if we get the Final Four here and there's no fans, the next chance that those events are open, they'll bring it back. I just think they'll do that. They'll, just like the NFL has already announced that Las Vegas will get the draft again in 2022, I think, the NFL draft. Granted, the draft didn't go there this year at all. It was all in virtual, but still, Las Vegas missed out on that experience. If we miss out on having, I think the NBA All-Star Weekend is supposed to bring, and this is a weird number, but it's supposed to bring 150,000 people here. The game holds, Bankerlife Fieldhouse holds 18,000, if that. But because of all the stuff, the dunk competition, it's a whole weekend, even a week. It was going to bring 150,000 people to town. I really believe if we get that event, but it's an empty building, we'll get the full building experience first chance, which is probably 6-7 years down the road.
Greg Doyle, Indianapolis Star, this segment presented by Coffee Crossing. Greg, as always, thanks for the time, thanks for the chat, and we'll do it again next week.
All right, Matt, everybody wear your masks. Thank you. Bye.
Absolutely. Greg Doyle, Indianapolis Star, with us here in this segment. Always fun to talk to about a number of topics. And we'll head to a commercial break. We'll come back with Mike Pegram of Pegs.com. A little more on Christian Lander, a little more on IU basketball as well. And we also have our senior spotlight in the final segment, Taryn Weddle of Floyd Central, a Highlander and great softball player for Floyd Central. We will profile her as we continue on in our series of athletes that unfortunately lost their entire senior season due to the pandemic that we are currently in. This is the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison. Join Matt daily at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
I'll handle this the way I want to handle it now that I'm here. You it up to begin with. Now just sit there or leave. I don't give a what you do. Now, back to the game.
Here's Matt Dennison.
And we're back. Final segment on this Tuesday program. Mike Pegram of Pegs.com is my guest. We'll also have our senior spotlight to close the program a little later on. We'll be telling you all about Taryn Weddle of Floyd Central Softball in our spotlight segment today. Mike, obviously Christian Lander taking all the headlines right now surrounding IU basketball. My question for you is this. Christian has there's no question that Christian has raised the bar for this Indiana team nationally as Indiana jumped up in some of the way early rankings that are out there. He's been written about as an impact player, maybe even for next season. I'm curious, as you look at Indiana's rosters and returners and other newcomers, it looks to me like a pretty talented group with a lot of different players likely expecting some playing time. Does Christian Lander get the opportunity in year one as a guy that's skipping his senior year of high school to become an impact player for the rotation for the Hoosiers?
Well, point guard's arguably the most important position. So having two, one, an experienced guy and Robert Fennessy, and then, obviously more talented, quicker, five-star in Christian Lander gives this whole team a whole new dynamic. Expectations may be a little bit high given how young Christian Lander's going to be, a year younger than normal, but there's just no question that it changes the prospects for this Indiana team, especially since they have a good inside game to go along with what they have at point guard and some of the veterans they have on the wing. So, yeah, I'm not surprised that they're cracking into the top 25. I still think they have some other issues, shooting being one of them, but, I do think that this is a team that can definitely really improve upon 20 wins that they had last year.
And that's where I was headed. When you look at this roster, when you look at last year, what do you see as the weaknesses in some of the skills or the abilities of this roster across the board?
Well, I just mentioned the shooting. I think Anthony Leal could help a little bit, but whether he's physically ready to guard in the Big Ten might be a question, or maybe something that will delay his impact a year or so. But I do think they have some, a little bit preponderance of big guys that are mainly post players. You know, when you go out to line up with Justin Smith, Trace Jackson Davis, and Joey Brunk, that's three guys who really do most of their damage, you know, 5 feet and in. So, you know, that can present some problems when they face some of the better teams.
Mike, it seems as if from a recruiting perspective, Indiana has turned its attention maybe to some out-of-state players as well. There have been a couple of new scholarship offers that you guys have written stories about at the Pigs.com website. Tell us what the IU coaches have been up to here in the last week or so from a recruiting perspective that you guys have been able to track down.
Yeah, I think what's happened is they've had enough time now to look at some players that high school tape, you know, I should say tape, but in video of players throughout their high school season, that's really all you have. And some of the players have gotten some offers because they really like that. I think the last is John Camden, a 6'8 forward from the Philadelphia area. Similar player to Mason Miller, a guy that they've really honed in on, who's the son of Mike Miller, the NBA player now, assistant coach at Memphis. Those are two guys that I think that they really look upon, guys who multi-dimensional forwards, you know, in the 6'8 to 6'9 range, you can hit shots, something they really don't have right now. And but I do think there's a process here that, you know, because of the COVID, that schools are going back to look at some high school film throughout the high school season, and they've seen some things that they like and going off of that, and some new offers have come out. And I think in case of Camden, he was out a bit and didn't get seen a lot last summer, so the high school film was kind of pushed everybody over the top.
And again, you can read about some of those new scholarship offers at the Pigs.com website if you are a member. Mike, one other thing I wanted to ask you about, when I think about, and I've said this before, when I think about recruiting and covering IU recruiting and being out at the events, you're one of the guys in the country, not just covering Indiana, but in the country, that was one of the first ones out doing some of the things that nowadays are commonplace as you interview prospects and write scouting reports on prospects. So you were one of the first guys doing some of that, covering things from an IU perspective. Last week was a big week that everything on the agenda for July was postponed, pushed back, dead period extended, college basketball academies canceled, basically a lot of exposure opportunities, really all between now and July, are off the table. There could still maybe be some tournaments in July if things go on without college coaches, but the exposure-wise, a lot of it is off the table. You've been around this for a long time. You can remember when the recruiting calendar and the opportunities for D1 coaches to get out on the road looked a lot different than what it does now. Do you think there is a chance because of the pandemic that maybe we could see an August or September opportunity for a live period where coaches can get out, maybe some AAU or some SHU events or push back into that part of the calendar because of how wild this thing has been and how much it's affected in the spring and now into July?
Yeah, I think that's what people want. Now, what it will look like in 2 months from now, nobody knows that answer. But I think one of the hot topics being discussed is some evaluation weekends in September, similar to what you've had in April over the year. So, you know, students will go to class and during the week, and then maybe travel to somewhere in September and for 2 days play some AU type basketball against, you know, better players in the country. I don't know. Maybe they'll push it to regional so that there's no playing fares. I think that's all being discussed, but I think some competition in September is a goal right now.
Mike Pegram, Pigs.com, our guest. Final question for you, and really not a question, just of a point. I can't imagine for Coach Allen and for the IU coaching staff that would normally be getting so engaged with their team for the upcoming football season. I can't imagine what the daily routine is like. Obviously, everyone's daily routine has been affected, and most of us in a very great way because of the coronavirus and the pandemic. But as a football coach, right now, what you're used to doing, and you feel, you know, so much drive, I'm sure, to do to be competitive in the season, just not happening right now. And it has to be a very, very strange thing for any college football coach and staff to be going through right now.
Yeah, I think it's actually behind some of the transfers. We saw kids go back home. They're not around their teammates, not around their coaches, and kind of lose touch with that. And people around them convince them that, you know, the playing time issue wasn't good there, so they end up transferring. I think that happened a little bit with a player at Indiana, Demezi Anderson, and maybe with Noel Eastern at Purdue. You know, that's just not being around the team, I think, leads to a lot of things. And but I do think that they're trying their best with Zoom video conferencing throughout the week. And, you know, it's a new world, that's for sure.
Yeah, no question. Mike Pegram, Pegs.com. Head over to the Pegs.com website for much more on IU basketball, football, and recruiting. And, Mike, as always, thanks for coming on with us.
All right, Matt. Look forward to next week. Take care.
Absolutely. We'll wrap up this Tuesday show with our senior spotlight for a spring sport athlete. Today we profile another Floyd Central Highlander, Taryn Weddle. She's a member of the softball program at Floyd. And on the field, all sorts of accomplishments. She's been an All-American softball player now, three-time All-State player, and a four-year varsity starter on a Floyd Central program that always seems to be at the top of the class here in Southern Indiana softball. Academically, she does great as well. She has a 3.7 GPA at Floyd Central. And as far as outside of her sport and outside of school, she likes to be outside. She's an outdoor enthusiast, she writes. She says she loves to hike new trails. Wanted to give some shout-outs and thank yous to people that have been influential and helpful to her in her softball career. Her mentor, one of her coaches, her best friend, and even her second mom, Lisa Pinkston. She writes that Lisa has stuck with me through all the tears and the laughs, made me the player I am today, spending countless hours training and coaching me. She also wanted to thank Coach Sean Payne. He's the Floyd Central softball coach. She says, thank you for pushing me to be the best player I can be and for putting up with me for 4 years. True coach and friend. Taryn Weddle is the daughter of Tony and Melissa Weddle, and when she graduates from Floyd Central here later in the month, she will move on to the University of Louisville. She's committed to play softball for the Cardinals, so lots of softball still ahead for Taryn Weddle, and she is our senior athlete that is missing out on their final season of spring sports here in Clark and Floyd counties that we're profiling today. Taryn, we congratulate you on your successes on the field, in the classroom, lots of great years and memories at Floyd Central, and we definitely look forward to following you. We're thankful you'll be close by to watch over at U of L for the softball program they have there. Best of luck to you. That's going to wrap things up for this Tuesday program. I'll return on Wednesday with, Dustin Dopierak of The Athletic, Josh Cook of the News and Tribune, and a lot more. This is the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
Thank you, seniors, for the memories, and thanks all of our senior spotlight sponsors, Scott Aldridge of Edward Jones, Walnut Ridge Landscaping, and UPS.com/Louisville.